This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance.
I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network, and today is Wednesday, November 17th, 2021. I have another important report to bring to you guys today. Before we do that, I would invite you guys to visit my website, theconsciousresistance.com, especially if somehow you found your way here and you are new. Go to theconsciousresistance.com, guys. I have a post made already for today's video, so you can come here and check out the sources of everything I'm about to cover. You can also see all the social media we're on. I know some of you are still watching on Facebook. I want to encourage you to stop doing that. You can follow us on Float, where we're live right now. You can follow us on Mind. You can follow us on Hive. You can join my text list. I encourage you to do that. You can follow us on BitChute. You can follow us on Odyssey, where we're live right now. We're also live on DLive, and we also broadcast on Rockfin. And you can find us via Telegram, via the Derek Bros Daily News, and the Conscious Resistance channels. So let's go ahead right into it. Today's report is called Why Won't the Media Report on Vax Injuries? And obviously, this is probably going to be shadow banned to some degree by those who are watching on Facebook. Again, this is why I encourage you not to watch on Facebook, because Facebook tries to make it where you don't see my reports. And I often see people say, oh, Derek, I never knew you were hosting this event. I never knew you went on tour. I didn't know you were doing this one thing, because you're watching on Facebook. For those of you who are following on Telegram or my email list or elsewhere, then you know what I'm up to. So just want to make that clear. Let's dive right in and see what we're focused on today. Guys, the first report is kind of an older one that I'm surprised not too many people actually caught up with. And this was from Reuters, so mainstream report here. This is not conspiracy theory. This is in the mainstream. Now, this was back in October 19th, so just about 30 days ago. And I don't believe I saw anybody reporting on this. I would guess maybe Ryan Christian, my buddy there, he might have reported on it, but not too many people. So COVID vaccine injury claims mount, but recourse is lacking for those harmed. Again, before I get fact checked here, this is on Reuters in the mainstream. As the Biden administration puts the final touches on an emergency COVID vaccine mandate for companies with 100 or more employees, a crucial piece seems to be missing for the unlucky few who experience serious side effects: meaningful legal recourse. I just want to pause there and say, all the articles I'm going to read, you're going to notice that they always make sure to throw in words like few, or very rare, or limited, and things like that, because they want people to believe that, okay, maybe this is happening, but it's not as serious as you might believe or as you've been told. Of course, for people who are studying the VAERS database in the US and other vaccine injury reporting systems, you've seen a spike of people reporting various types of injuries. And that's what this is about. I think it's getting so great they cannot ignore it that they have to at least acknowledge. Now, they're claiming there's more than 1,300 COVID vaccine-related injury claims now pending before an obscure government tribunal. We're going to talk about that. This is the vaccine injury court that many people aren't even aware of, which to date has decided only two such cases, one involving swelling of the tongue and throat following the jab, and the other alleging long-lasting severe shoulder pain. In both instances, the government, which requires claimants to prove their injuries are the direct result, they denied compensation. This is going to be important as we go on here. I'm going to show you a report I did years ago talking about this and warning about this. And this is one of the biggest problems we have, is that even if you get heard in front of the vaccine injury court, it's very rare that they actually even give anybody compensation, you know? So for example, whenever you talk to people, if you talk to some, you know, normie person out there, and you say, hey, you know, people are being injured by the shots, you know, what are we going to do about that? They say, oh, actually, did you know there's this injury court where you can file claims and you can try to, you know, get some compensation? And that's, of course, if people even accept that people are being injured. A lot of people are like, no, that's not even true. But for the people who accept, okay, maybe it's rare, but there is this injury compensation program, you should tell people to look that up. Of course, the court is notorious for not being easy to get compensation. It's very difficult to navigate the system, just like the VAERS reporting system. And in some cases, we've seen where people try to report injuries to the VAERS system, but they have to get, I think this was in Canada, I was reading this last night, they have to get the doctor themselves to sign it and saying, hey, I'm going to report this, can you sign this? And the doctor was like, I'm not signing that. So there's all kinds of issues when people are trying to report their injuries. let alone, you know, actually getting compensation once they do report. So let's go ahead and continue here. The article continues. It's a steep burden of proof. Lawyers tell me the vaccine is so new. Now, of course, they call it a vaccine. We know it's not a vaccine. That there is virtually no definitive research on injury causation to cite. So think about that. Even the lawyers are saying there's no definitive research on injury causation. So it's because we're in a live experiment. And if there was real research done prior, then we would say, hey, look at the reference points we have from previously done studies on this, this measure here. Indeed, the overwhelming majority of all litigants under what is known as the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program have not succeeded. According to program data, 29 claims have been paid for injuries stemming from other vaccines since the tribunal's inception in 2010. 10 additional claims won approval, but no compensation. So only 29 claims have been paid. Now, this is, we're going to talk about two different aspects of here. They're talking about the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, which they say was started in 2010. There is another program that has been around for much longer. The other 455 claims, 92%, were denied or otherwise deemed ineligible for review. For those who prevailed, the average award was only $5,000, from a low of $31 to a high of $2.3 million for a person who contacted Guillain-Barré syndrome after receiving the H1N1 influenza vaccine. And for those of you who remember or notice, like, this Guillain-Barré syndrome is the same thing that we've seen happening with the supposed swine flu of the 70s, where 60 Minutes did this great report. You can find this at theconsciousresistance.com, talking about the people who've been injured by those shots in the past, right? Guillain-Barré syndrome is also something that we have been seeing happen from the flu shots, as well as people with the COVID jabs. There is no provision for damages based on pain and suffering. And now they talk about the specific example here. Somebody named Jessica McFadden, 44-year-old woman, who said she developed life-threatening blood clots after receiving the J&J COVID shot in April. So her options are unclear. She's not optimistic about her odds of recovering her losses, and it's certain she won't be able to recover any pain and suffering damages under the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program. She says she was previously healthy and needed two emergency surgeries to remove massive clots in her lung, her heart, and left leg. That's insane. She spent 9 days in the hospital racking up $489,000 in medical bills. It's so crazy. Her insurance will cover most, but not all of the tab, she said, and she estimates she'll pay $7,000 out of pocket. She emailed this journalist a photo of extracted clots, which said they were, which she said were removed during the procedure, all while she was conscious. So she said she had to return to work, but is still taking blood thinners and has not spoken publicly of her ordeal until now. Why? Because she says, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I understand the need for vaccines. I was just trying to do the right thing. So see, think about that for a moment. This woman's got such deep programming that they've told you, don't question vaccines. Don't question vaccines, or you're this anti-vaxxer, anti-science moron. And she gets injured by the shots, and now she's on the hook for $7,000. And even then, and they had to remove 3 blood clots from her. And even then, she's like, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I understand. You know, I think people are just afraid. Like she said, she didn't speak publicly about it because she doesn't want to be labeled anything negative. And think about that. How many other people are choosing not to speak up because of public shaming or whatever the case may be, family shaming, societal shaming, friends shaming? We see that a lot. So there are other people who probably have been injured who have not reported on those injuries and maybe don't have the money to go or the insurance to go get these cases. How many people died? Like, think about that. That woman had those 3 blood clots and she didn't have insurance to cover it. She could have died. Perhaps other people have died who got blood clots and couldn't treat themselves. And they are not going to be labeled as COVID shot deaths. They're going to be labeled as some random, oh, he must have had a heart attack. To be clear, an experience like McFadden described, here we go again, is extremely rare, according to the CDC. We're not even going to give them our time. Johnson & Johnson says the safety and well-being of our people who use our products is our number one priority. McFadden says the issue is not whether the COVID shots are bad or that no one should get them. She says what's important is how we care for people when something catastrophic happens. As a result, especially now that vaccine mandates are becoming so widespread. So think about that. That is an important point to make, is that, you know, we're told constantly in the mainstream that you're a crazy person for even choosing to question the shots, as if there's anything wrong with that, right? So if you can't even have a conversation about how dangerous the shots might be, then how are we ever going to get compensation for the people who have been truly injured? And that's, you know, that's happening to people, right? So think about that. If the corporate media is demonizing everybody who
talks about, hey, I was injured, I have this situation. If that happens, and
that's happening,
social media companies are censoring people who are talking about these situations, and the fact checkers are saying this isn't happening, it's all fake or whatever, then how are we ever going to have a real, honest, adult conversation about what's happening? The truth is we're not. And that's what these crazy psychos want. They don't want there to be any honest dialogue about this. They want there to be, you know, people,
whatever,
fighting each other or, you know, being deleted off the internet, et cetera. And when you have friends who try to speak up and say, hey, you know what, I have this experience, they're going to be demonized. This is why this woman chose not to speak up. You know, it's been months since she's been injured, has three surgeries, racked up a $400,000 bill, and she's still afraid to speak. Let's continue here. Now we get to the other aspect. For decades, vaccine makers have been shielded from product liability lawsuits thanks to the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. Another brief point here. How many signs have you seen out there at the protests? Because I know you guys have probably been to some of them or seen them online. How many signs have you seen that say vaccine makers are immune from liability, or they have, I can't think of the word right now, but they have immunity from lawsuits, right? I know I've tried to tell people that. Most people don't know that. And it took a year plus for Reuters to write an article like that. Like, okay, let's applaud them. They're one of the mainstream outlets who dared post this, even though, again, it's been totally ignored and people have moved on to Kyle Rittenhouse and whatever the heck else. But it took them a year and a half to acknowledge that, hey, the vaccine makers are shielded from liability. They were demonizing and banning people like myself and other journalists who tried to bring this to the attention. That is it should be a non-controversial fact that the companies are shielded. And there's no other industry you can think of, car maker, manufacturer, anything like that, where you can buy one of their products, and then if you're injured by that, you can't sue them. It just shows you the power of the pharmaceutical companies. The law was passed after pharmaceutical companies were hit with lawsuits over a brain injury known as pertussis vaccine encephalopathy, and threatened to quit making the DPT vaccine altogether. So basically, they're like, oh, well, if we get sued, we're not going to make this vaccine anymore. And it's been pretty profitable for government and for us. So let's pass a law that protects us. Under the 1986 law, people who claim to have been injured by DPT, hepatitis, influenza, and other common shots bring their cases in a special no-fault tribunal. So that's the one thing. There's never any admission of guilt. And it's a tribunal. It's not even actually considered a court. The Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, known as the Vaccine Court, although it's not even a court. Payouts, including attorney fees, are funded by a 75% tax per vaccine. The forum is far from perfect, but over the years, it has awarded more than $4 billion to injured claimants. Again, does the average person know that there's a vaccine injury court that has given out $4 billion of, get this, taxpayer money, no fault? It's not coming from the companies. It's not. That's not where it's happening, guys. So anyways, this is just a brief article here. All the links, of course, are already posted here. I encourage you to look deeper into this in case you're not familiar with it. I've had this up in my browser, been meaning to do this video for a while so that people can recognize. Look, guys, here's a mainstream article. You don't have to like Reuters, but if you got friends who aren't going to listen to you and they're not going to check out my website or The Last American Vagabond or Corbett Report or whatever, send them this article. Find it at theconsciousresistance.com right now. Send them this article here and tell them, like, hey, if this is so crazy, then why is the mainstream reporting on it? And why is there no actual compensation, et cetera, et cetera? Now, here's one more that I'll show you that I literally just found this morning as I was pulling up to do this video. Australia COVID vaccine injury claims. More than 10,000 Australians have filed COVID coronavirus vaccine injury claims. Now, again, average person, 10,000 people, that's not a lot of people. What's the total population of Australians? And they're correct. 10,000 people is fairly small. But if you're the person who has an injured child or an injured husband or wife or brother or sister or uncle or niece or mom or dad or whatever or friend, then it's a big deal. It doesn't matter how quote unquote rare it is. And also, let's acknowledge again that the most people aren't going to file claims because they either, maybe they don't make the connection, like, oh, I just have this negative thing going on and could it be the shot? Maybe, but the news is telling me that that's crazy to say that. Oh, okay, whatever, I'll just deal with this new lump I got on my arm here or this new, you know, off my heart beating off all weird or whatever. Most people aren't going to file claims. And if they do, the people who do, as we've just seen in the US, and I would assume it's the same in Australia and most places because the big pharma companies are infecting everywhere, they're not going to be heard genuinely and they're not going to be compensated. Taxpayers are facing a hefty bill. Again, you see that? It's the taxpayer. So even in the end, the companies, they win because they'll never pay anything. It's you, the people who are still choosing to pay taxes. I would encourage you to find ways not to. But if you're still in that game,
You're going to pay the bill when somebody's injured. Taxpayers are facing a hefty bill for rare but significant coronavirus vaccine injuries, with at least 10,000 people planning to claim under the federal government's, again, no-fault indemnity scheme. That's the word I was looking for earlier, indemnity. They're indemnified against harm. They cannot be sued. Same thing in Australia, same thing in the U.S. My guess, same thing all over Europe, Africa, South America, Mexico, etc. Services Australia is building an online portal to be launched next month for uncapped claims above $5,000 for those who suffered injury and loss of income due to their COVID shot, with compensation for medical costs and lost wages to be paid for by the government. But the government doesn't produce anything. That means the people, the taxpayers of Australia who are being locked in their homes right now and being demonized, the people who are trying to protest and fight, those people are going to pay for this. Shine Lawyers Head of Medical Negligence, Claire Eves, said the amount of the claims, quote, could be really significant for people who experience, again, rare but serious adverse reactions such as stroke and inflammation of the heart. She says, quote, adverse events, even though they happen to a tiny proportion of the people, for the people it does impact, it's really quite devastating. So they go in here to quote some of the numbers. But again, mainstream article, Sydney Morning Herald. This is not Derek Bros making this up. This is even in a mainstream article just reported yesterday, the day before I'm sharing this. This link is at theconsciousresistance.com as well. So United States, Australia, we can bet the UK, we can bet Europe and other places, right? This is happening, guys. It's not, we cannot allow them to demonize those who choose to question these things. And really, look, as a journalist, this is not a topic that's going to win you any awards. It's not going to win you any friends, and it's not going to get you any high-paying mainstream or governmental or whatever jobs. It's going to get you demonized. It's going to get you pushed off and cast off to the edges. Now, thankfully, even the largest names in alternative independent media, let's say people like Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, Michael Malice, some of those folks who just did a huge show on Tim Pool's podcast yesterday, those people are questioning, and those voices are much larger than myself. They're larger than CNN. They're larger than others. So I think it's getting out, and they can't contain it ever. I don't think they're ever really going to be able to truly contain it. Now, for the normie people who, like some of you, are watching on Facebook, if you only stay on Facebook and get your news through Facebook or Instagram or any other controlled platforms, then you have no idea this stuff is even going on. Yeah, there's one article in Reuters, and then it's gone. There's one article in the Sydney Morning Herald, and then it's gone. But guys, I want to tell you, this is not a new problem in any way. I want to show you an article I wrote when I used to write for Ben Swan's website, truthandmedia.com. Shout out to those who still remember Truth and Media. It's not really around anymore because Ben's focusing on sovereign.media. By the way, I'll be interviewing Ben Swan this evening. Report: vaccine court keeps thousands of injured families waiting for compensation. Check out the date when I wrote this, December 29th, 2014, guys. 7 years ago. 7 years ago, this article, the one I just read you from Reuters, the article I wrote was based on an investigation by the Associated Press. This was known 7 years ago. None of this is new. None of this is, you know, we shouldn't be like, oh my God, like, well, hopefully the government will get it figured out and we'll get something taken care of. No, they know that things are bad. They have no intention of fixing the situation. So let's just go through a little bit of this article I put here together. A recent report by the Associated Press has found that thousands of families with claims with a special vaccine court are left to wait for years, sometimes decades, before receiving help. The Associated Press examined hundreds of court decisions, performed more than 100 interviews, and studied a database containing more than 14,000 cases. The database was last updated in January 2013. Officially known as the Official Office of Special Masters of the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, it's the so-called vaccine court that we talked about, is little known court that is intended to address the claims of Americans who say they've been harmed by vaccinations. There's not even judges in there. There's instead what they call special masters. So it's a total like kangaroo court where you really don't have any, you know, rights or law, you know, within that court, neither does your lawyer. And I just, you know, again, I linked to this. It's an older article. I'll put the link on the website again. But they talk about the problems in this court. They talk about how taxpayers are having to pay private attorneys who practice and file court, you know, claims in here. And again, you might have some people who realize I'm going to get paid out either way, so I'm going to file a claim. It could be a BS claim. Could be a claim made to look, make those who actually have been injured look crazy. But the court has so many problems. It says the report found that expert witnesses for the families and the government have often have a lack of credibility or conflicts of interest. The report says that some of the experts are also involved in setting up nonprofits that question vaccine safety. So they're, you know, they're saying like, oh, it's these anti-vaxxers.
Meanwhile, doctors hired by the government to testify in defense of the vaccines have ties to the pharmaceutical industry. Surprise, surprise. And this article that I put together goes on there and just talking about how they are denying claims of people. They're claiming they're going to, you know, make the program better. They're going to improve it, blah, blah, blah. But the reason I bring this up is just to say this isn't anything new. I've been reporting on this since back in 2014, guys. That's when I first started to question the whole vaccine kind of narrative around it. Because as I said, once you go down that rabbit hole, you're never respected again in the mainstream. I have a radio show here in Houston, back in Houston on 90.1 KPFT. They consider themselves very progressive. And for myself, reporting on things like that, they've basically removed our show off the FM radio. They've labeled us anti-vaxxers for questioning the narrative. But are they going to report on that? Are they going to report on these injuries? Are they going to report on Reuters talking about how the injuries, the court isn't helping people? Are they going to talk about the reports of injuries in Australia and how people are, the taxpayer is going to foot the bill? Of course not. They're too lazy. They're not actual journalists. One final report I'll share with you guys today. Again, thank you for being here with me. For those who are new, my name is Derek Rose with the Conscious Resistance. Italian government raids home of anti-vaccine passport activists. Have you guys heard about this? I first heard about this on Telegram through the COVID-19 update channel. The Turin prosecutor's office directed police raids in several Italian cities of people thought to be involved with protests against the Green Pass, which is, of course, their vaccine passport. The raids were conducted on Monday morning, with police claiming that many of those raided were known to for them having extremist links and criminal backgrounds with prior convictions for theft and narcotics crimes. Could that be true? Could these be criminals? Maybe. But guess what, guys? Those of you who love my work, I have a narcotics crime charge, a drug charge from 17 years ago. So imagine if somebody like me was arrested for organizing protests. You better believe they're going to say felony background, drug charges, even if it's totally irrelevant to my current life, right? So we shouldn't just trust them when they say, oh, these people have been convicted of theft and crimes. So they basically said they found containers of an acid substance that they allege extremists plan to throw at police. Now, again, could this be true? Maybe. People are pissed off, and this is what it's going to get to, unfortunately. But it could also be a false flag. It could be planted evidence. They found knives and crossbows, they claim. The newspapers have also claimed that far-left anarchists and far-right extremists have both been present at some of the protests against the Green Pass, blaming the radicals for violence that has taken place at a number of the protests. So think about that, though. Chats among protesters on online platforms such as Telegram have also allegedly seen death threats and planning attacks, as well as instructions on how to use Molotov cocktails. So there's a chat called Basta Dittatura, Enough of the Dictatorship, and is said to be the main organizing forum for these protests. And supposedly somebody went in there and threatened Prime Minister Mario Draghi, who is a total freaking central banker, New World Order puppet. Anyways, so Italians got to get rid of him. But think about that. If you know what Telegram's like and what the channel's like, anybody can go in there and say any dumb comment. So they could have sent somebody in and say, hey, I'm going to cut the guy's head off. And maybe nobody moderated it. They let it sit there. Or maybe some people said, yeah, I'm down with that. Or maybe they deleted the comment. We don't know those details, right? I guess we'll find out when they go to court. I'm sure they'll get a fair hearing. But the point is, guys, people are being raided for organizing protests against the mandates. And while that's happening, people are being injured by the shots that they're trying to mandate, that they're trying to tell you can't fly, you can't travel. That's already happened in Canada. I learned that the Czech Republic this morning, which for those who know my last name, Bros, the Bros side of my family is, you know, goes back to the Czech Republic, to Moravia, back to 1600. That's where some of my people come from. And they just locked down the Czech Republic, saying you can't go into restaurants, etc. They're talking about lockdowns of the unvaccinated. All these measures are coming, while at the same time, we've got mainstream news reports saying that people are being injured and that there are growing claims, you know, growing need for compensation, and that they're struggling to get compensated. People are trying to get compensated, but they're not actually being, you know, they're not actually being compensated. Instead, people are afraid to come out and speak up about what's happened to them. People are afraid to be labeled crazy. So, I mean, think about what's happening. We got people locked down in New Zealand, Australia, across Europe. Increasing talk of lockdowns. I saw on CNN yesterday, they were saying Europe is going back to lockdown because cases are spiking and they're choosing to close their borders and lock down only the unvaccinated. With all this insanity, all this tyranny, let's call it what it is, all this tyranny, and yet you can't even be told that, hey, there are some risks to these shots and you might be injured. And if so, you can't do anything about it. I've tried to tell my family and friends that who've considered the shots, like, guys, look, if something happens to you, God forbid, you won't be compensated. They're not going to, you know, look out for you. And that's just something, that's why I felt the need to do this report. Again, it's not about Kyle Rittenhouse. It's not breaking news, whatever the mainstream garbage is talking about, but it's important. Add this piece of information, this report today, and the links that are at theconsciousresistance.com, add them to your toolkit, to your information that you share with people when you go out there and engage with people. I want to encourage you to continue to engage with people, guys. I'm not giving up on this fight. I know that we need to continue to educate our brothers and sisters as much as possible. I know there are people out there who think I'm crazy. I've already lost friends, maybe even some family members. I don't know. But I don't care. It's time for us to speak up, speak truth, and let people know that there are some criminal acts going on right now. People are being injured. People are dying. And the media is covering it up. The fact checkers are covering it up. They're hiding this from you. And they're quietly admitting every now and then, okay, some people are injured, but it's very rare. You know, and there might be some problems getting them compensated. It's coming out of the taxpayer's dollar. But, oh, well, you know, let's keep worrying about football or Kyle Rittenhouse or whatever mainstream distraction they want to talk to you about this week. Look beyond the mainstream distractions and see what's happening. I have some more reports coming this week. As I mentioned, I'm going to be interviewing Ben Swan tonight. I'm going to be interviewing Pam Popper tomorrow. I'll be appearing on Sam Tripoli's The Tin Foil Hat podcast later today. Lots of stuff. I'm back home in my studio and getting back to work. I have a brand new article coming out for The Last American Vagabond today about the great narrative, in case you guys haven't heard about that, and the metaverse. So please check that out at thelastamericanvagabond.com. Again, all the articles I covered today can be found here at theconsciousresistance.com. Why won't the media report on the injuries? Please bookmark our website. Don't rely on social media to show you all of my work. And stay tuned for the latest episode of my documentary, The Pyramid of Power, coming very soon. Thank you guys so much for supporting my work. Until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries, Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea.